I can't read music really, so I have to use my ears. So this is what I've taught myself. I have to move the mic into a weird position to get this to work. This is going to be great audio. I'm just going to put the... Hold on. This is great audio.
Ow.
Sorry. Oh, shit. Okay, perfect. I've done it. All right. This is the first song. This is a little song that I like to call Ode to Joy. Wait, no. Hold on. Fuck. So that was that one.
Wow, you're just like Timothy Chalamet.
I'm just like Timothy Chalamet.
And then this no.
is the other one. This is the first like 8 bars of the Fallout 4 theme song. Which I definitely did have to teach myself by ear, so I'm kind of proud that I figured this out, but here we go.
Nope, shit. It's hard to do when I don't have a table. Okay, I figured it out. It's this.
It's basically there, and I'm a professional musician now, and none of that was usable, so we're going to have to use some sort of different cold open, because I'm pretty sure none of that was going to be audible.
You can spend the next hour perfecting that and just inserting
it. I'll just put it back in.
Yeah.
Sounds great. I'm Nikki.
And I'm Jules.
And this is Tangential, a podcast about the internet and the things that we do on it. Every single week, Jules and I go through our internet search histories, pick out the things that we find the most interesting, kind of just chat about them for like an hour, and then you guys listen, and then don't email us for some reason, even though the email address tangentialpod@gmail.com is literally everywhere. No one has sent any emails yet. But maybe you can be the one to change that person who's listening in Miami. We have a person listening in Miami now.
Maybe it was an accident. Maybe they were trying to get to a podcast
a different
that they
one.
Heard about, and they accidentally picked this one. They listened for 2 seconds, and they were like, oh, no.
And then they were out.
This is not what I was looking for.
Well, if this is what you're looking for, please email us.
Yeah. Okay, Nikki, I think you're starting.
Oh, God. It is my turn to start this week. I am under the weather, I think, or I'm, like, getting there. Like, I feel like I'm about to be under the weather, which sucks. Today, this morning, I woke up at 4 a.m. We're recording this one late. It's Monday. This morning, I woke up at 4 a.m., and it felt like my eyeball was falling out of my face. And it was so unbelievably swollen that I couldn't really... When I tried to blink, I couldn't really get my eyelid to close over my eyeball because it was swollen. Yeah, it was real bad. So that isn't really particularly related to anything other than the fact that I've been Googling, is it possible for your eyeballs to fall out? And under normal circumstances... it is not possible for that to happen. So
good to
that's
know.
Good to know. Yeah, good
Wanna
to know.
Hear my fun eyes story of the
yes.
week?
Yes.
So I think you noticed it a couple weeks ago, but there's this thing on the top of my eyelid, and I couldn't figure out what it was for the longest time. My mom was telling me it might be a skin tag, and I said I was too young for those, but I looked it up. I looked it up. Well, skin tags are basically pockets of flesh that are created because of hormone imbalances or dietary problems, and usually they occur in...
Old people?
Yeah, it's common for older people to get them. But I looked closer, and there was a thin black line running through it, and...
That's not good.
I was really scared, and so I looked it up. And I have an ingrown eyelash that is moving up my eyelid. Luckily, it's not moving inwards towards my cornea, because that could be a serious problem. It's just moving along my eyelid, and I'm going to have to go to my ophthalmologist or doctor, and they're going to have to remove it somehow, because it can be serious and can attack my cornea at some point. But usually
you're already ruined corneas.
Yeah, it just happens to people who have lots of eyelashes, and also if a duct gets blocked somehow, it happens. But at least it's not my lower, the lower rim of my eye. That would be worse. I think I'd blink more. This way, yeah. I can close my eyes when she attacks it with a needle.
Oh my god. That's horrifying.
That was my own story of the week.
Yeah, it's worse than mine. Do you want to hear about Carly Rae Jepsen?
Sure.
So,
again, I don't think I have a choice.
CRJ, nope. CRJ, as the kids call her, is CRJ. Carly Rae Jepsen, CRJ.
Kids call her.
Okay. Is on a festival. Her festival tour, I guess, in preparation for her album that hopefully is coming out this year. And she performed at Lollapalooza, which is the music festival, the big summer music festival that happens in Chicago. And then she also performed at Outside Lands, which is basically the same thing that happens in San Francisco at Golden Gate Park. And I was going to fly up, not to go to Outside Lands, but as part of Outside Lands, some of the artists do night shows, which is just they just do regular ass concerts in regular ass venues and not in the middle of a park. Except the tickets sold out in pre-sale, and then 25 minutes after the afterwards, the tickets ballooned to like $250. So I didn't go. But it turns out that it's actually okay that I didn't go, because she didn't perform any new music.
Is she coming out with a new album then, or?
I don't know. But, like, she didn't, no new songs. She hasn't performed, so if you don't know, Carly Rae Jepsen put out the best pop album of the last, like, 10 years in 2016, called Emotion. And every single track on that album is a fucking banger. And she then... That session was really big, apparently, because she then put out, the next year, she put out Emotion Side B, which was basically another full-length album of songs that didn't make the cut for Emotion, and then Cut to the Feeling, which came out last summer, was also part of the Emotion session, except she has not released any music that has not been from the Emotion sessions, and those were in 2015.
Is she still with the approaching... same record label?
Yeah. Still with the same record label, still with the same human beings. And she is apparently making music. She has said she's been making music, but none of it has come out. And then she, on this like mini tour, all like the whole set list, because I looked up the set list to see if like there were any new songs. Then I was going to like Google to see if anyone had recorded the songs from the concert. But all of the songs were either from Emotion or Side B. And then there was Call Me Maybe, obviously. But everything else was from Emotion, so I don't know what the deal is.
Carly doesn't love you. I'm sorry.
Why? Someone gave her a sword. It was very good.
What?
Okay, so on Tumblr, someone was like, I think someone should give Carly Rae Jepsen a sword because she seems nice and deserves one. And then Twitter just ran, like, Tumblr and Twitter just ran away with that. That was a Carly Rae, that was a song.
I'm not a fan of her new haircut. It's like
the kinda... like pick the blonde pixie situation.
Mm-hmm.
I like the long. I like short hair just generally on humans. But I did dig the her longer hair that she had like 2 years ago. Anyway, so yeah, someone gave her like an inflatable sword at her performance at Outside Lands, and it was extremely good. So that's the Carly Rae Jepsen corner. If you know anything about CRJ and her new music, please get into contact with either of us, really. If you really get in contact
definitely get in contact with Jules,
and then she'll pass that information along.
Or not.
Have you played the video game Madden NFL?
Well, it's happening right before me as I speak.
Oh, is it really? is your brother playing?
For those of you who don't know, the only area of space that I can record this podcast remotely peacefully is in my brother's room, who he kindly rents out his room to me for an hour a week for me to record, but he typically is playing some kind of video game while I record.
The PS4 fan is so loud.
Oh yeah, it is. Can you hear that?
The PlayStation 4 fan is unbelievably loud. Every single PlayStation 4, anytime it gets turned on, sounds like it's going to take off into space.
Yeah. He just hasn't dusted it in a really long time.
It probably doesn't help. But even like new ones, the fans are that loud. When I was at Activision, we were working on Black Ops, and obviously the floor was broken up into consoles. So I was in Xbox One, and then maybe like 10, 15 feet in front of me was PlayStation 4, and then around the corner was PC and Xbox 360 and PS3. But like, you could hear it was a huge floor, and on night shift only like a quarter of the staff was there. But on regardless of what time it was or what side of the floor you were on, you could hear the PS4s going, like all going, because that's how loud there were. And there were also like 15 of them running at the same time. It just sounded like a wind tunnel coming from the opposite end of the floor, except it was just video game consoles.
It's truly what it sounds like, a wind tunnel.
Anyway, they released the 19th Madden. It isn't the 19th Madden. There have been more. But Madden 2019 came out. And it's a truly buggy mess. Like, it's just a buggy mess. They didn't used to be like this, which is to say they used to work when they shipped them. And then EA has kind of, like, let off the gas, and they've gotten sloppier and sloppier in the lead-up to the release. So I spent, like, 45 minutes this week. I don't care about football anymore, but I did spend, like, 45 minutes this week down a YouTube hole watching Madden glitches, and they're all extremely good. There was one where the kicker, like in a punt situation, the kicker got the ball and then just kind of held the ball for like 35 seconds as the offensive and defensive linemen just kind of ran around in circles. And then eventually the punter's arms just kind of like went backwards into his own back. It was truly some like Lovecraftian horror shit. It's extremely good. I'll put some links in the link dump. But then I started to think about, like the last Madden that I actually played for real, which was the only Madden that I actually played for real, which was Madden 05 on the PlayStation 2. And that game had such a good soundtrack, or at least my brain thinks it was good. And like, I'm pretty sure I've talked about on this show before the like how influential games have been for the like the way that my musical tastes have developed. So like the main songs on the Madden soundtrack from 2005 that have like main that I would identify as like being important, like Take Me Out by Franz Ferdinand is on here. American Idiot by Green Day is on here. I just think that for these sports games, especially FIFA, I think is the bigger example of this. When you have games that are for as wide of an audience as these sports games are, because there are a lot of people who don't actually play other video games. They will literally buy the console for that generation and then only buy FIFA. Like, that is like, there was a percentage of human being that does that. They don't play anything else. They just play FIFA. They buy a PS4 so they can play FIFA, and they'll buy a PS5 or whatever so they can play more FIFA. But I feel like the playlist organization for those games must be such a like such an involved process because you have to appeal to literally millions of people all over the world in a way that, like, if you're kind of designing maybe, like, maybe Madden actually might be a better example. Madden, the only people who buy Madden live in North America, but if you're kind of like coming up with a playlist for FIFA, you have to make that game for literally everyone in the world because everyone in the world plays soccer.
Right.
So I don't know. The FIFA soundtracks are also really good because it's such a broad selection of music. Yeah. What else? Okay. So I know your game's history is not as deep as mine, but is there like a film soundtrack that is not actually, no, I'm not talking about like the score of that film, but like the music that is in the movie that you like immediately think of and you're like, oh, actually that movie had the best soundtrack I've ever listened to.
I mean, I love 60s folk music, so I think of The Graduate. I think of, oh, there's so many movies. This is a hard question. Ask me this again next week.
Okay.
I've thought of every movie I've ever watched because I don't want to say anything definitively. But I think it's as hard as me. It's as difficult as me answering what's my favorite movie.
Favorite movie, yeah. It's a big question. Big question. I also watched DuckTales.
The animated feature.
The animated, film. Yeah, the animated television program, DuckTales. I'm pretty sure I've also talked about DuckTales on the show before.
Many a times.
Really?
Yes.
Dang. Well, the season finale was last week.
Oh, I thought it was a movie. I thought it was like an anime.
Yeah, the season finale was like an hour long. It was extremely good. Don Cheadle is the voice of Donald Duck for like half of the episode. Doesn't make any sense. It's very good. That voice cast is so good. Like it has Danny Pudi and Ben Schwartz, David Tennant, Kate McCucci. We've definitely talked about this on the show before because I struggled to pronounce Kate's last name.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's super good. You can go watch it. The first episode is free on YouTube. There are like 20-something episodes. If you have cable, you can go to Disney Channel's website and watch it there. It's really good. It is so unbelievably well written and goes places for a Disney Channel program that I like would not expect a Disney Channel show to go. There are like very explicit references to death and murder. And, like, people die on that program, and everybody's, like, seemingly okay with that. It's extremely good. Lin-Manuel Miranda's in it. His voice performance. When you ask Lin to do a thing and not have him sing, and he actually, like, gets to just voice act, it's pretty good when he's Gizmo Duck.
He has range. Who knew?
The man has... Shocker, the professional actor has range. But it's fun stuff. I think that was it. It was a very light week for me. Because work has kind of been all-encompassing. Jeff and I are going to the Overwatch All-Star game this weekend, so I'll probably talk a bunch about that next week. But, yeah. What about you? What's been up in your internet? In your internet history.
Just give me a second to plug in my laptop.
Okay.
Flipping through my notebook.
Now what are you doing?
Okay.
Keep
you
it going.
Know?
No, I need
Clicking my pen. and with an E got renewed, so I'm super excited about that.
Yay. More Anne with from Green Gables stories.
Yes. Avenue.
Maybe she'll go to a different set of gables.
No,
maybe
the green
an orange
gables are
or
the
purple
gables.
Gable.
It's a really good show. I've talked about it too much, just as you've talked about DuckTales too much.
Woo.
what else? Oh, so I recently finished Sex and the City. I figured I should finish that show just because it was such a cultural phenomena of the 90s and early 2000s. I studied it in my television history class, and we watched the pilot episode, and ever since then I've been meaning to get to it. And it was on Amazon, and you didn't have to have an HBO subscription to watch it.
Wow.
You could just watch it through Amazon. So I stopped that, or finished it, and that's when I allowed myself to look up all the gossip concerning the main actors to see if there was any beef, and lo and behold, there were. There was beef.
Wait, does that mean he's been buried? Boo.
Well, I said were, which was wrong, so I said was, but I think there is beef.
Yes.
So Kim Cattrall, you might know her from Ice Princess, the hit.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Hit the 2007. When did that movie come out? A Disney movie with Michelle Trachtenberg and Joan Cusack and Kim Cattrall.
2005.
Oh, wow. That's what I was originally going to say, but I thought it was too early.
It's got Hayden Panettiere in it.
So Kim Cattrall and Sarah Jessica Parker. Sarah Jessica Parker was the lead of the show. She was Carrie Bradshaw. Jayden is wrestling Hot Cheetos, and the mic is picking it up 100%. And now he's going to open the door. Oh, no, he threw it in the trash. And now he's going to place the iPad on the desk and open his water bottle up for the 50th time. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the things you are doing. Anyway, Kim Cattrall and Sarah Jessica Parker apparently had beef because when the show first came out, Carrie Bradshaw was supposed to be the center of the show. She is the center of the show. She is a New York columnist who writes a column called Sex in the City, and her friends all do various things. Kim Cattrall's
like
character,
have sex in the city.
Well, they all have sex because they're all 30-something-year-old women who are single. So yes,
wow,
it is a thing that they do, which was revolutionary for the time because women's sex lives was not something that was talked about. Because, but HBO comes around and changes everything.
We can put
once
boobs
again
on TV. The HBO slogan.
It came out, it was just as revolutionary as The Sopranos was, in my opinion, for the time. Anyway, Kim Cattrall plays Samantha, and Samantha is this extremely provocative, sexually comfortable character, very ahead of her time. She's very sex positive. She's sometimes sex-shamed, slut-shamed on the show, but that's corrected at points. The show's dated, obviously, if you were to watch it now. There's some things that are a bit cringy, but for the most part,
it's a real Friends situation.
For the most part, no, it isn't as bad as Friends. Friends is extremely homophobic throughout.
Friends is a bad television program. That's my hot take.
I'm not going to say it was a bad television program. I think it was a well-produced sitcom that did very well for the time and is something that could be put into the time capsule.
And then shot into space.
You know,
I never seen again.
I understand why you would hate it, and I also hate many of the episodes, but I think it had its moments. You know, you genuinely got the feeling that they were a cast that loved each other, and I think that any show that has a cast like that is going to do well. And
Pivot
it's
was a good bit
because Sex and the City did not have a cast like that and still did really well. So Kim Cattrall was actually Samantha was the breakout character of the show because she was so funny and outrageous. Everyone gravitated towards her, even though Carrie was supposed to be the protagonist of the show. And apparently Sarah Jessica Parker had a little bit of bitterness towards this, and Kim Cattrall thinks that there was beef from there on out. Sarah Jessica Parker denies this wholly, but they are not friends, and that's why Sex and the City 3 did not become a movie. But Kim Cattrall says it just didn't become a movie because she just didn't want to play the character anymore. In other news concerning the Sex and the City cast, Cynthia Nixon is running for governor in New York City. Cynthia Nixon plays Miranda on the show, and she is this extremely smart lawyer in the show. But she's also a very smart human person in the real world. And
human person, that's it. Those are the words that you described. Used to describe.
She's a liberal, and best of luck to her campaign, even though I think she's run out of money already.
Oh, really? That's a bummer. I don't think she's going to win, but I think she has, like, gotten some space inside of Cuomo's head,
which is all
you could really ask for.
Yeah. There was something that she said. I think Cuomo said something along the lines of America was never great, and...
Which, you know what? He's right, but continue.
Right. He said that, but Cynthia had a response in which... I think she said Cuomo's desperately trying to appeal to the current generation and the voter basis of New York City and he's saying things that he wouldn't have said like a couple years ago just in desperation, and she thinks she might have contributed to that, which isn't a bad thing, but she thinks it's not genuine in any capacity.
I definitely think that that is what's happened, but I also guess you have to ask, like, if a person pretends to be further left because envelops those positions. This is a very simple word that I forgot. And, like, kind of puts those positions into their platform because they are being pushed further left. I don't think that's bad. At a certain point, I guess that, like, means that the person... who was pushing that person left kind of is doing their job.
Right.
Even if they're just doing it to save face.
Yeah. I think something that she specifically pointed out multiple times is that she rides the subway every day, and he has never, actually never ridden the subway, and doesn't understand why funding for it is so important in New York City, where the majority of people do not have cars and need the subway to get to work and function.
Yep. It's bad out there.
Yeah. What else? Oh, last week I think for the last couple weeks since I started Castle Rock, I've been talking about Stephen King. But I specifically talked about Cujo and Misery last week, and I decided to rewatch those movies, and wow, Cujo is like so awful. It was right around the time where Saint Bernard's had reached peak popularity because of Beethoven, but Cujo is a killer Saint Bernard who I think I talked about the plot last week, but the way that it's filmed is the first scene is Cujo chasing a rabbit, and you're mad at Cujo for chasing a rabbit. Then you remember he's a dog, right? So he can chase a rabbit, and he chases the rabbit across this pond and winds up in this little den where he pokes his snout through a den where the rabbit is hiding, and then a bunch of bats surround him and bite his nose, and then he gets rabies, and that's why he becomes a killer dog. But I think that opening scene is just emblematic of the entire book because do you know what happens in this story?
I'm reading the Wikipedia now. Yeah. Do they shoot the dog to death?
Well, essentially what happens...
They do shoot the dog to death.
In the book, it's different because the little boy, Dee Wallace, you know Dee Wallace from E.T.? She's the mom in E.T.?
Yes.
She plays the mom in this story as well. She is visiting, or she's at this farm to go to the mechanic to get her car fixed, and she brings her son along with her, and this dog attacks them, and she has to close up the windows in the car so the dog doesn't attack them because it's disgusting. It has mucus running out of every orifice on its body and is rabid. It's terrifying. He has blood drenched and is crusting over in his coat. So she's not getting out of this car. Problem is that it is the middle of summer and they're going to die of dehydration. And she has a 5-year-old little boy who is particularly susceptible to heat stroke, and because he's a little boy.
He's a child.
And they're in there for like a day and a half, and then eventually she's like, well, my kid's gonna die, so I need to get over this and kill this dog somehow so we can leave. The reason that they can't move their car is, well, the car breaks down essentially when they get to the mechanic. The mechanic is this awful guy who's abusive, and Cujo killed him before, but that's besides the point. Well, in the book, the little boy dies of dehydration, but in the movie, and lots of people were really upset about this because Stephen King had never really been as unforgiving to children before. I guess perhaps he wasn't it, but they felt like this little boy did not deserve to be killed off in this way because he was completely innocent. And the kids in It are also innocent. I don't know. People were just really upset about this because it was a dog movie, I think. So the little boy dies of heat stroke, and then in the movie he doesn't. Dee Wallace is able to revive him. So yeah, I was just looking up random facts about Cujo, I guess. Oh, the Saint
Bernard. Is the dog computers?
No, they did. It was like, I don't even know what, it must have been 80, 85, 87.
The dog super wasn't
well, you're
computers
on the wiki,
then.
You're on the wiki page. Do you see what date?
82. Yeah, super duper not computers, the dog.
No, not at all. It was puppets, and it was a trained dog. And the trained dog actually bit Dee Wallace's stunt woman's nose, and she had to go to the hospital.
That's commitment. Good job, dog.
It wasn't the dog's fault. She lunged towards him, and he thought he had to attack. He was actually just doing
commitment.
What he had to do.
He was acting.
He was. Misery is he's a method actor.
Yeah.
Misery is the other movie that I decided to rewatch. It's the movie with Kathy Bates and what's his face? He played Sonny in The Godfather. James.
That doesn't help me.
James Caan? James, right?
Sure.
Anyway, he's in Brian's Song. The guy who was in Brian's Song. what did I look up about it? Oh, yeah. I guess I just got really involved in the Annie Wilkes wiki, or just Stephen King's wiki page itself. I think it's so cool how fandoms can have entire encyclopedic databases through wiki and just edit it accordingly. And depending on the fan base, I think depending on the fan base, you can see how dedicated the fans are, because there's links to such specific like timestamps in episodes proving theories, and all of the conspiracy theories are listed. So not even just within the canon lore of the actual whatever series or movie that you're watching will be listed, but also fan theories will be. And it's just super well researched and such a good tool for fandom, I think. So yeah, I got obsessed.
The Steven Universe wiki is a thing. I'm watching Steven Universe again right now with KK. We're watching back through it. And I have to go through to like figure out where it's a good episode to stop. And like, there was just so much information baked in to the Steven Universe Wikia. And then last week at work, I had to, for some reason, I found my way onto the Transformers Wikipedia page, like the fan one. And the tone of that Wikipedia of that wiki is just, I have never read a wiki like it. It is very off the cuff, and just sounds like the way it is written sounds like a person who loves Transformers is just kind of telling you about it.
Yeah.
Like at a bar.
Is it
it's
Michael
really
Bay's
good.
Transformers or
it's the whole brand. So gotcha. It's Michael Bay's Transformers, it's the animated series, it's the comics, it's like all of it.
Gotcha.
But it's like the tone is super, it's like it's extremely good.
Another thing that I looked up this week was the perfect spaghetti puttanesca recipe. Spaghetti puttanesca is like my favorite food ever. Lots of people don't like it because I like a lot of like salty and sour things. So that's what spaghetti puttanesca is. It basically is spaghetti, but with Kalamata olives and capers and like finely chopped up anchovies, but you don't really taste that they're there. And then you can put swordfish throughout it, and it's mixed in. You don't put any kind of tomato sauce per se, but you put in mashed tomatoes straight up, and you put a little red pepper and cayenne, whatever you want for spiciness, garlic and olive oil. So yeah, I was looking up my favorite recipe and made it for me.
It looks extremely good.
I mean, I just love all of those ingredients. I like old people food, I guess. What else?
Old people food like tomatoes.
No, capers and anchovies.
Olives.
And olives, I guess, are old people food, but that's what I like.
Olives are gross.
I love olives. There's nothing you can say that will. And I love pickles, and I love
pickles are good. I can get on board with the pickle. Nope.
Well,
Mento's bad. Olives bad. Pickles
anyway,
good.
I was reminded of the last time that I had spaghetti puttanesca that I really, really enjoyed was when I was in London at this restaurant called Il Bordello, which is in Wapping, London, which is in the East End. And I just did some research on the East End because the way that we had gotten there was we just started walking from Whitechapel and we wound up there somehow. We didn't even take the tube. We were just walking for forever looking for a bar or a cool place to stop by and have a drink, and then eventually we were starving. So someone looked it up and we went there. Il Bordello. I think they're actually changing their location, but they're still going to be in Wapping if you are in London at the moment.
Wow, good to know.
It's an Italian restaurant where all of the waiters speak Italian. They will not speak English unless you force them to, and they're really fun. It's a really nice restaurant.
It's just like the Olive Garden.
Anyway, I was looking up... No. Anyway, I was looking up... just information about Wapping, London. Cher used to live there, and Graham Norton currently does, or is rumored to. Lots of Wapping was destroyed.
Allegedly.
Yeah, who actually knows? Lots of Wapping was destroyed in World War II, and it stayed run down until the 1980s, and that's only because the London Docklands Development Corporation stepped in. Most of Wapping is what's considered a marine or a wartime, or was a docklands of sorts before the war. It's a cool part of London. I really enjoy it. It's in the East End, right off the Thames. And I think there was one more thing that I didn't write down, but I can't remember it, so if I do, I'll just save it for next week. But that was it for me.
What a varied week for you.
Yeah.
I don't... Oh, man, I was going to say something, and it was going to be extremely relevant, and then it immediately left my brain. So now I don't have anything.
Sorry.
Well... What was I gonna say?
I just saw a ticket stub for Molly's Game. Where did that even come from?
What is Molly's Game?
It was this movie with Jessica Chastain that came out earlier this year.
What is Molly's Game?
Oh, she runs a gambling circle. You didn't hear about this movie?
Oh, wait. Is this the movie where...
About Tobey Maguire.
Tobey Maguire is like a horrible human.
Yeah, but Tobey Maguire isn't in the movie. He just is played by Michael Cera.
Yeah.
Check it out. It's a fun watch. What were you going to say?
It's impossible to know. I think that means that my brain is over and I don't have any other words to say
any
for this one this
Odyssey
week.
Links?
Let's go to the internet website. It's probably popping right now because school is starting up.
How to tell the difference between reality love and TV love.
15 reality heartthrobs that prove fictional boys are better for our fragile hearts than real ones. Would you like to hear 17 questions you'll hear working at a family roller skating rink?
Actually, I feel like I would click on that article just because it's so niche.
Why are you guys only open for insert time slot here? Everything closes in between. We can't play games, get food, / pick prizes. Why is admission / skate rental / prizes / food / laser tag / rock wall / everything in this facility so expensive? Well, I don't know. If you couldn't tell, I am just an employee who has no control whatsoever over pricing and cannot do a thing for you. Yes, we have coupons, and you would know that if you checked our website. Yes, this was cheaper when you were younger. It's called inflation.
That was long-winded.
Plus, it's a significantly large facility. Nope, there's still more. Plus, it was a significantly large facility with employees to pay bills, etc. So how do you expect us to make a profit? My child just fell. There is blood everywhere, and they are bawling their eyes out. Can someone get an ambulance and an AED?
No.
Can you play a song that swears every 5 seconds?
You can do anything you want. This is America. That's a fun sound.
That was a good noise.
Oh, the Odyssey.
What a bad website.
Truly
filled
an
with
Odyssey.
Bad words from bad people. Yep. I think that's going to do it this week. Sorry this one was late. Yes. Computers are bad.
Hopefully
banned
you
computers.
Still enjoyed it.
Yep. You can find this episode, obviously, and every other episode we've done at tangential.xyz. It does not sound like a URL, but it is a top-level domain. Tangential.xyz, which you can type into your browser to see all the other episodes and read the show notes that Jules and I wrought with our hands every single week. You can find the show on Twitter at @tangential_. You can find me on Twitter at @Godsua. Jules is at @JSClemek. And every single week, we create social video that ends up living on our Instagram pages, or like inside of Instagram stories. And you can find me on Instagram at @ChasingGrayson. And Jules is @JSClemek because she's consistent. Huge thanks to Louis Zong for the use of our theme song, Blackberry Jam, off of the album Jam 2. You can find that album, that song, and all the rest of Louis's wonderful music over at louiszong.bandcamp.com. You can also follow Louis on Twitter, at @LouisZong. He basically put out a song every day last week, and every single one of them is good. My favorite one is, it basically is him. The song is about him waking up from a nap that he did not mean to take. Like, he accidentally took a nap and was like, oh no, I've burned like 4 hours. So the
story
song is about
life.
That feeling. Yeah, it's a really good. Actually, you know what? You're listening to it right now. It is the closing song for this week's episode. Yeah, I think that's it. Did I miss anything? I don't think I missed anything.
What would you miss?
I don't know. We've got a guest in 2 weeks. Get hype. If you have questions for Ellie, email us at tangentialpod@gmail.com.
They know nothing about her. How can they ask
I don't know.
Questions?
Just listen. Ask anything. It's like it's, you know, Reddit, the good website, reddit.com, that everyone loves. It's like an AMA. It's just like that.
Typically, AMAs are done by
nope.
people.
Nope. Mm-mm. No. Shh. Nope. All right. Bye.
Did you just have a stroke? Bye.